Welcome to Happy Place, the podcast where we get to know some familiar voices a little better. I'm Fern Cotton, and today I'm off to meet one of Britain's biggest young entrepreneurs, the founder of SBTV, Jamal Edwards.
Whether you're an old entrepreneur, a young entrepreneur, people unlock their potential at different points in their life. I unlocked mine at 15, someone might unlock theirs at 60. It doesn't matter. Everyone sort of has got it in them.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And now, here's the show. I'm walking through the streets of London today to go and meet up with a very inspirational young man, Mr. Jamal Edwards, MBE, don't you know? He has the most remarkable story. I mean, he started a YouTube channel when he was a teenager, and I guess out of passion, but also for fun, and it's grown into this ridiculous empire where he's looking after musicians, he's scouting new musicians, he has whole business initiatives just rolling out of him constantly. So I really want to quiz him today on what it's taken to get him to that point, the energy involved, the passion, the love, the drive, the determination, and also what he plans to do next, because guess what? He's still only 27. So he has got years and so much knowledge now to put into practice. So let's see where it leads him in life and what other brilliant things he is going to do with his time here on planet Earth. So let's go and knock on the door of a studio around the corner and say hi to Jamal.
Hello.
How are you?
You're right.
How are you?
Yeah. Oh, I love your song.
There we are. Oh, thank you.
Oh, my God.
I'm just shitting myself sending it over.
Oh, I had a little cry when I watched it for the first time.
So good.
Joining us to begin with was one of Jamal's bright young things, Louis Dunford, who has written a song inspired by the first series of this podcast. So, in another Happy Place first, we thought we'd open with an exclusive live edition of the track. Here it is.
The sun is shining outside, but there's a storm in my skull. I was feeling just fine, but the drugs and the wine started taking their toll. See, my friends were relieved that I was on the mend, and my family and me, well, we almost believed I was normal again. Then you come along, just like a song that I can't get out of my head. Hello, depression. I guess you're back again. So now I'm feeling too much, or I'm not feeling at all. Doctors, they say that a tablet a day makes the demons feel small. But my demons feel huge, so I drink and I use like before. And when I drink, I just think, and when I think, I just sink into your arms once more. Because you come along, just like a song that I can't get out of my head. Hello, depression. I guess you're back again. again. So I accept and embrace that you're part of my mind. I surrender myself, 'cause I know that in time I'll be better. You're never forever. And when the sun is shining outside, I'll be feeling just fine. And when you're in my skin, I will fight and I'll win. I'm not yours, you are mine. And when you come along, just like a song, I'll sing for the whole world to see. I've got depression. Depression's not got me.
Jamal.
Hello. How you doing?
Oh, first of all, thank you for bringing Louis into our lives, because that was just dreamy. That song.
Proper.
And that's written especially for Happy Place, which is so, like, that made my heart hurt.
Yeah.
So beautiful. So with an artist, like, we're going to talk about this a lot more later, but with an artist like Louis, when you find new talent and you see that magic, what next? How do you start the ball rolling, and how do you work with an artist?
So with Louis, I think it was a guy called Fletcher sent me over a video, and I really liked it. So I was like, oh, how it normally works is I'll get in touch with them, film a video of them, and then upload it to the YouTube channel. So I think it was about 4 years ago. It was proper random. I think Louis saying a lot of his stuff that he was making was in his bedroom. And I think that was the first video that he did outside of his own videos that he was making. So he did When We Were Hooligans, put it up, and absolutely, like, blew up. Everyone loved it. Everyone related to it. And then I sort of built a relationship with him from there.
Well, that was so special. I can't thank you enough for that. And we're going to talk more about new artists and music and your passion about that in a bit. But first of all, let's go back to the first time we properly met Jamal, which in classic Jamal style was at Buckingham Palace, which for me was like really exciting. And for you is like, here again,
no,
whatever.
No, that was a good... It's mad how many times I've been back to the Palace now. But yeah, I remember that actually. It was a good day. That was one of my first times I've been as well. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So it was good fun. I'm actually going back in a few weeks as well.
Of course you are.
For the Prince's Trust Ambassador reception. Are you going as well?
Oh, I am going to
I think.
Yes, I'll see you again at the Palace. But this is all new for me. This is very much your second home now, Jamal. Let's rewind, because, you know, we're going to talk about the MBE and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. But let's go right back to the start. So you're a teenager, you're 15 when you first decide to start uploading artists, and I'm guessing friends at this point that you knew were good, onto YouTube. When did you sort of, first of all, get that idea to do it? What inspired that idea? And what was that drive that propelled you to kind of make it a regular thing?
My mum was an X Factor, second series. She got, I think it was fourth place, and I was going there every week. And I think that was when I got the camera for Christmas. I think, like, my parents had a bit more money from that. And it sort of, a bit of it was inspired by her not getting through, and then me going, I wanted to create a platform. I was proper upset. I wanted to create a platform for artists to sort of get their videos on the channel. And a lot of my mates in my area wasn't in the mainstream media either. So I was like, let me try and create a YouTube channel and upload their videos online. So a lot of it was down to that frustration of not being able to watch the artists that I wanted to see.
What's so interesting, though, is like a lot of other people might have gone, oh, I'm so angry that my mum didn't go any further.
Yeah.
And then that would be it. They would just carry on with their lives. But you had like a burning desire that you wanted to rectify this, and you wanted to find another outlet. And that's, I think that's quite extraordinary. That was in you already.
Yeah, it's funny because I didn't put my mum on SB until 4 years later, I think it was. So, and the music that I was filming wasn't necessarily my mum's sort of music.
Yeah.
But yeah, they inspired it. And my parents have always been quite supportive of me from back in the day. And I've always wanted to sort of better their lives as well. So that also had inspired me as well.
So you've naturally got a lot of drive, you would say.
Yeah, yeah, I think definitely. And coming from the area where I'm from, you don't really get a lot of role models that we can look at. So like one of my early role models was Richard Branson. And that was because my mum used to work for Virgin. She was an accounts payable manager. And I remember he had an open day in Oxford, I think it was, and the rides were free, bumper cars was free. And I was like, why? Like, everything was free. And I was like, well, how is this even possible? And then that's when I got to know about Richard Branson, started researching about him. And I was like, I'd love to be able to do that for my friends one day, people that work for me, and be able to support them as well.
It's crazy that then you went and actually did that. Do you know what I mean? Because that's not normal. There's a few people that will go from having an idea or being inspired by, like you say, it could be one person you meet or an idea or one moment. And, you know, but to go from that to actually it happening is crazy. And I want to talk more about that in a moment. But first of all, once you've started, you've worked out initially what SBTV is, you know what you're doing and the platform you want to create. What moment, what sort of seminal moment did you reach where you went, oh my God, people are really into this. People are watching, the numbers are up, and this is actually something. This isn't just me doing this for fun. This is turning into a real thing now.
Yeah, I think it started off when I was in West London. It was really well known around my school. Then I went around my mates. And then when people started, I've had loads of oomph moments. I class them as oomph moments where when people started getting in contact with me from other areas, that's where I was like, oh my God, I've got a business. And I was working in Topman for about 4 years because I couldn't afford tapes and stuff for my camera. So I was working in Topman, getting the money from that, putting it back into production. And I feel like when I left Topman, that was another moment where I was like, okay, people used to come into, I used to work in Westfield or I used to work in the Ealing one, like come in taking pictures of me. My managers didn't understand who are you, what are you doing. People like chasing me around the shop floor, asking for videos. I'm like, I'm working. And that really just made me, every time I think people recognize me, I go to the back of the house and like chill until they go away. And that's when like all these moments that happened in the early days made me realize like, wow, people like what I'm doing. And I feel like the first major moment, because back in the day, my parents were supportive and they weren't supportive. So they used to ground me because I used to go out and try and film videos all the time and come back home late. But it was the Google Chrome advert that happened, I think, in 2011. And that came on like the first ad break of X Factor. It was like a big one. And from there, it was like my parents' friends was like, your son's on TV. And I was like, oh, wow. So what Jamal is actually doing up in his bedroom for hours on end is actually something. And then that sort of had a good moment for me.
Weren't
as well.
You sort of one of the most Googled people that week or something?
Yeah, it was
or
crazy.
Something ridiculous.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I feel like, because the other people that was on the advert that done it outside of Europe was Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga. So I wasn't in bad. I wasn't in bad company.
So when things started to kick off and you knew it had turned into a business, how did you approach it differently to how you had previously?
So a lot of it was underground. So when I first started, it was just MCs and rappers. And then it was ones in my local area. Then it went to ones that were outside of London. And then it went all across London and outside of London. And then it went outside of the UK. And it got to the point where I was filming all the MCs, the grime scene, rap, all of that, hip hop. And I was like, okay, I've done this. Let me try and think what else I can do singers-wise. And that's how I changed my business. So after that, I think like it was the first sort of singers that I filmed was like Ed Sheeran, Maverick Saber, Emily Sandé, Jessie J, Rita Ora.
That's ridiculous that you say that list so casually, but that is insane.
Yeah.
They're like the biggest artists in our country. That's mad.
Yeah, so it started off, I got on them early. And I think that's what a lot of people liked. That changed the whole business to make it a little bit more like commercial and mainstream, because then people was like, oh wow, these artists that you've put on the channel years ago, they're getting big now. And that also helped in the journey as well.
So when you were first starting out and you chose to put it on YouTube, because you could have done other things, you know, I don't know, used social media was new at the time, but blogging was big or whatever, but you sort of saw this gap within YouTube and and music being represented on there, and also new artists being represented. Had you sort of actually formed a conscious idea that, you know, this is my route because no one else is doing it? Or was it kind of chance that led you to do it?
Yeah, because the reason a lot of it was there was old school DVDs that used to go to Wembley Market, like Practice Hours, Risky Roads.
I used to go to Wembley Market. Weird. So I thought I was the
it's
only
weird.
One.
To see places like that, you get people from different cultures but going to the same place back in the day. I find that fascinating. But I went there for DVDs, and because the DVDs were ripped and they were on YouTube, there wasn't really original music content on YouTube. So I was like, wow, there's a gap. And YouTube was a year old when I signed up. And I was like, once I found the gap, I was like, oh my God, I've got to carry on. And that's what spurred it. It was a bit of being in the right place at the right time, but also being consistent and knowing exactly what you want.
And also having guts, because, you know, YouTube being so young and you being a teenager, you've got to have some serious guts to go, well, I'm going to do this, and I've got the confidence to do it. And, you know, no one else is doing it, so, hello, I'll do it over here. I think that takes a lot of courage, because it's quite a vulnerable place to be. You know, you're putting yourself out there, you're doing something really new in a new medium. You've got to go for it.
Have that self-belief. Yeah. I've always said that self-belief is so important.
So definitely. Where does that come from for you? Is that naturally, is it from your parents? Do you just have that self-confidence?
I think over the years it's grown with me, but I've always been just curious to everything, and I like taking calculated risks. So the self-belief has grown over the years, but I've always said everyone has self-belief in them. It just depends when you unlock it. And I feel like everyone, whether you're an old entrepreneur or a young entrepreneur, people unlock their potential at different points in their life. I unlocked mine at 15. Someone might unlock theirs at 60. It doesn't matter. Everyone sort of has got it in them, and it's just about finding what it is that unlocks that.
Does that remain consistent? Or if you are having a time at work where things aren't going your way, or a particular project that you believe in isn't received as you think it might, does that affect your self-esteem?
Yeah, it does. Like, I think when I first started up, when I took that risk of uploading singles onto the channel, I was very scared. I was like, oh my gosh, this is not what my audience originally subscribed to me for. But I was like, I want to expand people's knowledge. Like, I want to be able to educate them in a way. Like, I've even had an artist called Stromae on SB. He's a French-speaking Belgian artist, but he's amazing. And I filmed him, and people was like, oh my God, you've opened my mind to something so new. And that's what inspires me to keep, what else can I do, sort of thing. And that's what has spurred me on over the years.
So risk-taking is quite a big part of it as
definitely,
well, then.
Definitely. I think you've got to take risks, because if you don't take risks, you're never going to know. Like, and you're never going to really expand what it is that you want to do.
I think that's really important. And I'm imagining, from what I know of you, that's, again, a natural quality that you have. Like, risk-taking is there. But I think for a lot of people, it's beyond terrifying to do anything outside of the box or to go, I'm going to take a chance, because they'll either second guess what other people's reactions might be, or they are scared of failure. Do you step into new arenas just believing the good is going to happen? Or is there moments where you think, oh God, I'm not too sure about this, but I'm going to do it anyway?
Yeah, I have moments of doubt all the time. It's not always confident going forward. Even when I'm filming new videos or like doing interviews, I still sweat, and just my mind is on, like, just buzzing. So yeah, it's not always forward, but I do try and take as many risks as I can.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we've seen you over the last, what is it, 12 years now?
Yeah, so yeah, 11
years. Yeah, but we've, you know, as an outsider, we've seen you have this idea, it become very successful, and then for it to grow and grow. Has it been as sort of fluid as we think, or have there been big moments of failure or obstacles in your way?
Yeah, there's been loads of moments of failure and hiccups. One thing I do say is to learn about your VAT, your tax and your receipts is so important. Like that is for new businesses, yeah. It's so important. And I feel like we don't really get taught that in school. Yes. I didn't get to taught that in school. I learned everything outside, like human skills, personable skills. I learned outside of school. But yeah, like there's been times where I've wanted to give up. Like there's a story that happened when I was in Camden Roundhouse and I was waiting. Like, I think everyone was there, like Dr. Dre, who else was there? Like, I think like Lady Gaga, Cheryl Cole, everyone was there. And I was standing on the side of the stage and I was like, I'm not leaving until I get a picture with Dre. I got a picture of Dre, put it online, and then like the following week, Beats by Dre got in touch and they was like, oh, we've seen social in the UK, like, we'd love to work with you. So I was like, all right, cool. They then said, do you want to come on tour in Asia for a week to launch Beats in Asia? So in my head, I'm like, yeah, all right. I told my parents, like, no, you're not going. Like, college, school, like, stay in your study. So obviously, I talked to them around and I literally packed up my bags and left the following week. We went to Asia, Singapore, Taiwan. We went everywhere. And it was Jimmy Iovine, Snoop Dogg, will.i.am.
This is insane.
It was mad. So the story, so this is what happened. And this is the thing about asking for help. I was absolutely excited. I didn't think about anything. I just packed my bags, took my camera and went. What I should have done is ask them, ask for help. Like, I need a producer, a director to assist me. So basically, I went on a trip, touring, amazing, bonding with them, showing them artists from the UK. It was like an unreal trip. And I was filming all this amazing content. And basically, my hard drive failed. And I didn't have no backup. And I was out there. And this was like, I was so disheartened. I was like, I came back to the UK. I was like, I'm giving up because all the content that I filmed, they're not going to think I'm professional, all this sort of stuff. And one of the things that I learned from that is obviously to back up content, but don't be afraid to ask for help. And because I'm just absolutely excited that it's Beats by Dre and I'm like, I want to show them I could do it myself, that was the mistake that I made. And I had some of the footage, I've still got a little bit of footage, but I lost so much of the footage. It was just like,
it's beyond like, gutting. Like, yeah. I want to puke up for
it's
you.
It's still now, so today, I still like, still hurts me to this day. But like, I've always said, and I did go for a part where I was just like proper, I was just like, nah, forget this. But then I got into the mindset of, okay, this has happened, but I'm going to have to build my relationship back. And one day I will go out there and build with them again. And I did. So I went to LA and I was on set with Dre and Kendrick Lamar for their shoot. But at that moment, it was just like, I couldn't really put it into words.
I think when you're going through it, because I've been through moments like that in my work and my life, you think, everyone else is doing so well and everyone's succeeding. They don't have to go through all this bollocks. But absolutely everybody, especially in the creative industry, who puts themselves out there, will have experienced something like that, which is a moment and you can't forget about it. And you could be having a great day, then all of a sudden, bang, in comes to your head a picture of you and Jimmy Iovine and you not having the content for it. Yeah. That will always be, and I've got my own version of that and it's there and there's nothing you can do about it.
Just got to carry on.
How important do you think those moments of, you know, failure or those moments where things don't go your way, how important is that to building a business and to being a successful person?
Yeah, I think it humbles you, but also it's so important you have those moments because you learn from it. Like now I've got hard drives upon hard drives, backups of backups, and I'd rather it happen there early in my career than happen at a later stage of my career. So that it is so important you have those moments, 100%.
So now you've gone from being your own boss and creating this amazing empire that you are now king of, but you're also boss to other people. How did you find that change? Because that's not something that you learn at school either.
Yeah, that's another thing. So when I first started, everyone that I employed was older than me. So I found it very daunting to direct people, if I'm honest. And people didn't really know that. People just look at it and be like, oh yeah, young boss. But when you've got people that are older than you and obviously I did and you're telling them what to do, I've always been taught to respect your elders. I'm not saying that I'm going to talk like in a rude way, but it's like, it's quite like when you've got a team of people and you're the youngest, it's just like, how do you deal with that? And that was a thing that I had to deal with, like delegation, because I'm quite a control freak and I wanted to do everything. I wanted to be on every shoot. I wanted to edit. I wanted to do all that. But that stopped me from scaling a business quicker when I was first starting. So yeah, it was daunting, like employing people and getting them like to do certain things for SB. They was all for it, but it was just a direction that I needed to build in myself to be able to do that.
And I guess that moment of letting go and letting other people have control, and when that's your baby and that's your thing, yeah, that's quite excruciating.
Yeah,
it is.
And that was a big hurdle that I had to overcome.
Obviously, to have something as successful as SBTV and everything that you do isn't just, you know, a bit of luck and you're in the right place at the right time. It is an insane amount of work. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that includes out of the normal working hours, weekends. You know, what is your work ethic and how has that changed over the years?
24/7. And there have been times where I've just... So, for example, when I was in college, I was working in college and then was working in Topman. And then I was doing SB. So it was like I'd leave college, go to Topman, then on the bus home I'd edit and then try and upload by the time I go to bed. And that was really long hours. And that's been long hours for so many years. And it's like some part of me is like, didn't have a life. And it was just 24/7. But it opened a lot of doors. So like I got my first like proper job in the BBC via my YouTube channel. I don't think I would have ever got into the BBC if I didn't have my YouTube channel, because they saw my YouTube channel. Then I was an assistant producer on BBC Three. And stuff like that also helped like add to my career as well.
And so how do you get that balance now? Because, you know, you're still the boss and you're the boss of you. You're the one that's saying, right, let's try something new or let's expand further. You're calling the shots. So how do you get that balance? And or are you okay sacrificing bits of social life or just downtime because you love what you do so much?
Yeah, I think that is a lot. I do sacrifice, but I don't think for the past 10 years I've been without being on social media or on my phone or just around the business for more than a week. So like when you think about it like that, it's like I'm proper in it. But I've said this year, or at least before I'm 30, like to take some downtime and go back to the homeland, St. Vincent, and just be away from everything. And I haven't done that because I've been so lost in it.
So when you were having particularly stressful times with work, and that I'm imagining all comes from the place of you caring about it so much, you just want it to be amazing, and that's the stress, because I get that all the time. I care about a project so much, and I work until I'm knackered, and I'm trying to look after the kids, and I want this thing to be so brilliant, and that creates a lot of tension. How do you deal with that in life? How do you sort of mitigate that worry and physical stress?
So what I was in the gym quite a lot, so that releases a lot of stress for me. And cycling, I like cycle a lot, so that also releases a lot of stress. But my passion and why I wake up every day is like just new music, new artists. Mm. That excites me, and in a way, that's sort of a release when I'm listening to music, because it just gets me thinking. It inspires me. So, but I think in terms of physical mental health life, it's gym and eating well. Recently, I've started cooking a lot more as well. I find that very therapeutic. It's mad. And reading books. I've got a book. I don't read books enough. So I was reading this book, I Escape from the World.
Yeah.
Like, and it's underrated. Like, I feel like, yeah, actually reading physical books, it makes me escape.
I think that's such a big one. Like, for me, my books are my everything. And you know, I haven't got like this huge empire like you've got going on, but I've got a lot of projects. I'm not hanging out at Dr. Dre, but I've got a lot of juggling, and I want it to be. And I'm a perfectionist. I'm a Virgo,
I'm a Virgo.
What date?
August the 24th.
Oh, I'm 3rd of September.
I'm like on the cusp
You're
of like Leo.
Virgo. You've got that bit of need to be sent the stage vibes. I know. So I love it, and I love what I do, and I think a lot about that balance of, you know, I don't go out or do much social stuff, mainly because I'm knackered and I've got kids, but also because I've chosen that in the evenings I like to either read, because that's my escapism, or I'm excited. I want to write the new bit of my book, or I want to jot down some ideas for something to do with Happy Place, and I'm buzzed about it. And then I'm sometimes thinking to myself, should I be just sort of having some downtime? And also, you know, you are living proof that you don't have to study a manual about being an entrepreneur. You don't have to go and do a degree. You can live it. And you did that. Like, you learned as you went from age 15 to where you're at now, how to be an entrepreneur. And you've done it really successfully.
I've done it backwards, though.
You've done it backwards.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I've done the brand building, like the brand, and the business side, I'm still learning a lot about it, and I feel like I could do a lot more. And that's something that as me, I've got to realise that I can't think that, oh, I've done everything sort of thing, but I'm appreciative of where I am today, but I know there's a lot more that I can do.
Yeah, but that's good, because I think as soon as you go, yeah, I'm done, I'm really successful, then, well, what do you do next? Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that reinvention's really important
yes,
as well,
I
guess.
Yes, that's what I'm doing now, like, literally. So, like, with the artists that I've been featuring recently, like, whether it's, like, the Dave, the Jay Husses, the Nadia Roses, I will always try and find the next talent and build them. And for me, when I started, it was putting artists onto mainstream media. So like, whether it's a podcast or content, I feel like there's certain rules that you have for it to be shareable. Like, either funny, entertaining, not covered by mainstream media, scary, inspiring. I think there's like one other thing. And if you can tick like a couple of those boxes, it's good. And I feel like I was always trying to do that. But I feel like my next step of SB is going to be these, like, you see me, I love music, I live, breathe music, but I'm not an artist. It's like the same with you.
Yeah.
Like, and there's
I can't
other
sing,
people.
I just got to talk about it.
Exactly. So we, the people that might not be in our fortunate positions, I want to bring them through. So as well as bringing the artist through, I want to bring these bloggers, these comedians, the people that love music but might not have the platform to get on. And I feel
exciting.
Like that's the next step that I want to do.
That's the next thing. And do you think a bit of that's driven by the fact that, you know, that was you? You wanted to do it. You were excited, you were fresh, but you didn't know what you were doing next. So it's important for you. You're sort of a mentor to these people now and showing them. Are you kind of, I guess, teaching them what you've learned over the last 11 years?
And yeah, and trying to remove them. The entry points as well. Because people don't know where the entry points are these days. And I feel like if I can help them, I'm all about putting people on. That it's not about like money or all this. People get lost in that.
Yeah.
So I just want to put people on. And if I can connect people, I'm all about connecting worlds as well.
But that's why you're successful. I think as soon as you start thinking, I want to be famous, I want to have this car, and it's all these sort of exterior goals, you lose your focus. And I think because you are so focused on an acute thing, which is new music or newness, new talent, new people, new funny, new sound, whatever, because you're so focused on that, that's your goal, and you can do, and you know you can do it. I think if you get sidetracked, and I've seen people do it myself, you know, in the line of work I'm in, and they start veering off, and then you're like, no, don't go over there, and then they've gone, and you sort of lose them. But you're so focused on that and passionate about that.
Yeah, definitely, because I feel as the years have gone by, and I've seen whether it's people that I've filmed go into great things or get signed or managed by someone, or people even behind the scenes, the people that actually work for me have gone on to work for Selfridges, Beats by Dre, have gone on to set up their own businesses, gone to work for ITV News. And before that, like, SB was their stepping stone. And I've always looked at it as a stepping stone for artists, but also a stepping stone for people that work for me. And I feel like as that's happened over the years, it's just gone like, wow, I want to keep hold of everyone. Like, you're not going nowhere. Like, you're here. But I've realised it's about, I'm an entry point. And if you've been at SB and you've done certain things at SB to other brands, they're like, oh, wow, like, come over here. So I believe I'm a stepping stone in more ways than one.
Well, it's incredibly generous to have that outlook, but it's completely right. You know, it's such a lovely thing that you're doing, and it's all about helping and inspiring as well. Because you're still building your brand and you want it to expand and get bigger, so you've still got that work ethos. What are your working mantras and your sort of rules that you like to live by to ensure that you continue on this path?
So one of them was, which I got from when I was fortunate enough to go on tour with Dr. Dre, was looking after the three B's, which is your base, your body and your business. So your base is like the people that are around you, your close friends and your family, make sure they're fine. Your body, like eating right, exercise, because obviously you're working a lot, so you need to make sure you look after your body. And your business, so your business just in terms of keeping it on point, making sure you're always trying to take risks, pioneering, trying new things out. For example, Queen got a film coming out at the end of the year. I've had links to Queen because of my mum. She was a killer Queen, and we were Rock You for like 4 years. So I sent a message to them. I was like, look, let's do a video and a channel around that. And in my head, I'm thinking, it will go well. But I'm like, I love to take new risks like that. So I'm going to get some singers to do covers of Queen songs, yes. and then Brian May and Roger Taylor are going to watch it and then like review it. So like stuff like that.
That's,
and I've put it to their management and they're pretty keen on it. So we're just going through artists at the moment. So fingers crossed, I'm talking it into the existence. But stuff like that, I always like to try new things out. And that's what I think's always put me and SB above, is that I'm not afraid to try new challenges. And that's in terms of the three Bs. So that's in terms of the business.
What on earth does your mum think about all this now? Like, she must be bursting with pride.
Yeah, I feel, when I took her, so I took my mum, my dad and my sister when I got my MBE. And it was funny because I got it at the same time as Joan Collins did.
Oh, yeah, yes.
I've lost that picture.
Like, oh,
I've
no.
got a picture of her.
There's
she,
a theme.
Yeah, it
There's
was like, she, I, my one was like a little MBE and she's a dame now. So she had like the big one. I was like, I need to find that picture. But that was a good fun day. And I feel like when I can bring my parents and my close ones along to stuff like that, it really makes me think, wow, like I'm actually doing stuff, and they're just, oh, they're so proud of, like, oh my god, like, oh my god, I've just seen a picture in my head of my mum like taking it and just holding it, and I was just like, yeah. But yeah, those are proud moments as well.
I bet you're so gonna get knighted one day.
Oh
yeah,
I wish.
That's happening.
I don't know,
I've foreseen it.
I need to do some more work. I feel
well, you're only, what, you're 27?
Yeah I'm 25. I mean, for the next 5 years, but
sure, got
yeah,
you.
I'm 27.
I mean, you've got and you've done so much, and because you're so tapped into newness, you're just going to like keep travelling into the future and be ahead of everyone. That's so exciting.
Yeah, I feel like collaboration is the key to success. So all I can keep on doing is living every day like it's my last, but trying to better my life and those that are around me, whether it's the artists and the people that I'm working with, definitely.
So awesome. Well, look, thank you for your time. I'm sure it's limited in your insane schedule. No, I'm so happy to sit and chat to you.
Thanks
for Louis coming in, because that made me actually cry and
legend.
Was so beautiful. Thank you, Louis.
Thank you.
And I want to know what Louis's doing next so I can keep up
definitely,
with his music.
100%.
But thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you for having me on.
What a pleasure to speak to Jamal and to hear this wonderful track by Louis Dunford. It's just so gorgeous. Go check him out at SBTV. If you've enjoyed this episode, why not write us a review on Apple Podcast? That helps others find the show and lets me know what you're enjoying about the series. So go do it now. Next week, we meet my lovely friend, Wanda Canton.
I don't know. I think I have confidence in a certain way than I have, you know, the same kind of nerves and anxiety as anyone else. It's just kind of maybe knowing that for me, it's important to embrace that fear.
Get that interview as soon as it's available when you subscribe. It's free to do on any number of apps. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher and more. Just search for Happy Place and hit subscribe. A huge thanks again to Jamal. Thanks to Louis. Thanks to our producer, Matt Hill at Rethink Audio. And to you lot for listening. Ta, see you soon.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.